The subject of the Holy Spirit, and currently been looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Last Thursday night, we saw that this experience of the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was separate from and subsequent to the experience of salvation, being born again by the Spirit and baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. There was a subsequent experience that the disciples received. And we saw it in the book of Acts with the disciples themselves. We saw it in the case of the Samaritans who had received the gospel. We saw it in the promise that Peter gave to those who were asking what they should do to compensate for their crucifixion of Jesus, when he said, "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We saw it in the life of Paul the Apostle, converted on the road to Damascus and yet filled with the Spirit when that disciple in Antioch named Ananias came and laid hands on him. And then we saw it in the church of Ephesus in the 19th chapter. Tonight we'd like you to turn with us to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. As we see what the experience is, that is, the experience of the baptism or the filling or the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're told here by John that in the last day, that great day of the feast, from the context, we know that this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus had come to Jerusalem and had more or less remained in private until the last day, the great day of the feast. They were actually wondering whether or not he was going to show up at the feast. And then as he did, he was saying, "You're going to seek me and you'll not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." And as they're wondering about this, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood in the midst of the multitude and cried. The Feast of Tabernacles was also known as Sukkoth, or the Feast of Booths. The feast actually commemorated God's preservation of the nation of Israel during the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. God preserved them. It was a miracle that they could survive for 40 years in the wilderness. It was an obvious miracle of God. And this feast was to commemorate that wonderful miracle of preservation during the wilderness wanderings. Now, there were many things that they did to remind them of God's miraculous preservation. Even to the present day, with the Orthodox Jews, they build little lean-to type of thatched rooms outside of their houses, usually up against their house. And over in Israel during this time of the Feast of tabernacles, you'll see these little palm-thatched rooms that they have built outside of the house. And the family moves outside for a week and lives in these little palm-thatched rooms. And they leave enough space between the palm thatches that as you lie there at night, you can see the stars. And the idea is that the children will say, "Oh, I see the stars up there." And their parents then have the opportunity to say, "Our fathers lived out in the wilderness for 40 years, out under the stars, and our God preserved them during that 40-year time." And so there were those things that would remind them. In the worship at the temple, the priest would take these water jugs, bearing them on their shoulders. They would go down the many steps from the temple courtyard to the pool of Siloam, down in the Kidron Valley below. And there they would fill these water jugs and make this solemn procession back up the steps and on into the temple courtyard, where the thousands of people would be gathered worshiping God. As the priest would come into the courtyard area with these water jugs, the people would break forth singing the Hallel Psalms. And as they were singing and worshiping God, they would pour the water out on the pavement, let it splash there on the pavement. And they were reminded of how when their fathers were dying of thirst in the wilderness, how that Moses took the rod and struck the rock according to the commandment of God, and how water came flowing out of the rock, and their fathers did drink and were preserved when they were dying of thirst. And so many things to remind them of God's divine preservation of their fathers during the wilderness wanderings. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, which was actually the eighth day, it was an eight-day feast, there was no procession by the priest to the pool of Siloam, and there was no pouring out of water on the pavement. This also was significant because it was the acknowledging of God's fulfilled promise. He had promised to bring them into a land that was well watered, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They no longer needed the miraculous water out of the rock. They now were just enjoying the land of promise that was well watered. And thus, there was no procession on the eighth day, the great day of the feast. Now, on this day, as the people were gathered there worshiping God, tradition has it that it was at that time of the day when they usually were pouring the water on the pavement that Jesus stood and cried to the thousands upon thousands of people that were gathered there in the courtyard, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, the fact that Jesus was standing was significant. According to their culture and practices, when a rabbi was teaching, he would always sit, and the pupils would always stand. Somehow we've got things mixed up. But that was customary for the teacher to sit and the pupils to stand. Kept them awake. But when a person